Can you hear the music?
No.
You can't hear the music.
I hear static.
That's all right. That's why I asked. Can you hear the music? Not everybody can hear it.
Yeah.
Just throw your hands up in the air.
Okay.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro music that not everybody can hear apparently all the time, and Steph is one of those people that can't hear it. Find Senjin everywhere on the socials, man. He's incredible, and he's agreed to come back on the podcast at some point. He's just been very busy, so man, I'm pumped. We've been working on this one for a little while. You know, like, I got days off, Steph. You know, on this week on the podcast, I got Steph, you know, Steph the Smudger, you know, from Nodak. I believe you're in Nodak, right?
Yep, Williston, North Dakota.
Yeah, Williston, yeah. So what's up with you? How's it going?
It's going good. Super busy. I've got a bunch of different things that I'm working on right now, so...
Yeah, I see that. I see you're everywhere, man. Like, I love watching your content. And then, you know, yesterday you had like a photo shoot. What's that about? What are we talking about? Photo shoot? What are you photoshooting?
Yep. So I'm doing a photo shoot once a month for a local photographer. We've got a contract going with each other, and basically, it's kind of like a marketing campaign for her, and I'm her model for 2025. And it's just basically like themed photo shoots. Yesterday was a birthday themed photo shoot. Cause
were you in your birthday suit? Were you in your birthday suit? Yeah.
Were you? Yeah.
Oh shit.
There may or may not be a shower scene.
Oh my God, Steph. Oh my God. People that follow you, that know who you are, stop. Like, I've never seen your hair down before. I've never seen the makeup on. Good for you.
Yeah, it's so fun because honestly, like, I mean, this is my third year in the oil field, and I never get any time to use my makeup before it even expires because I'm always working.
Yeah.
And so this gives me a chance to actually be able to like have something girly to go do and have a reason to have fun. And it's a really good time.
I got lipstick in my bag, but it's not to look girly or anything like that. It's for videos. Like, I don't know if you've seen that one video where it's like, remember that scene from Billy Madison where he calls that guy and he's like, hey man, just want to say sorry for, bullying you in school. And then he lays back after he hangs up, he puts the makeup on.
Yeah.
He crosses Billy Madison off his list. It's like, when the safety guy catches me in violation of something and he lets me go with a warning and, you know, he doesn't write me up or anything like that. He walks away. I cross his name off the list and I sit back and I put makeup on. Yeah, no, I've used that makeup twice. The second time I think I destroyed it, so I had to go buy another one. You never know when the props are gonna come in handy when you're making videos, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. I'm currently laid up right now. I'm in a hotel in Fort McMurray. I'm on technically days off, but I'm on modified duties at the moment. It was a really cool accident the way that it happened. I can't lie. It hurt like a son of a bitch, but I got an appointment today with the ortho surgeon. He just wants to see it. I think they're going to put a hard cast on this. The splint is starting to get loose because the swelling's gone down quite a bit. So it's starting to like move around a bit and it's uncomfortable. So I had to drive for 4.5 hours and spend a night in a hotel here. The company paid for it. So, I'm doing that. And they said no surgery so far. We're hoping that sticks. So,
yeah. Yeah, their surgery would suck.
It was pretty wild. It was basically I had to make a decision in split second, right? Like, you know how our industry is, the oil and gas, you know, when shit goes sideways, it goes sideways. And I had to make a split second decision. And this is the better of the two options that were going to happen. So I jumped out of the way. I landed, you know, probably a good 4 feet, but I landed on ice and in a rut. Uh-huh. And my fucking, so I think what happened first was the bone that connects my leg to my foot dislocated. And we all thought it was a break. Super rare dislocation is called a talonavicular dislocation. And super rare, the doctor in 30 years says he's never seen that, right? He nerded out medically on me. He's like, this is so cool. He's like, he made a bunch of phone calls after the initial x-ray, and I can hear him out in the hallway. He comes in, he's like, all right, 30 years of nervousness. He says, I got to sedate you. I got to put it back into place. I don't know how this is going to go. I wake up from the sedation a few minutes later, and he's standing over me smiling. He's like, dude, that was fucking cool, bro. Right? And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm glad it was cool for you, you know? But so when I landed initially, I dislocated the bone, and then I tried to get up and walk, right? And when I walked, I think I broke the ankle after I tried to walk because there was no support there. And basically, the shit was still going on behind me. I had to crawl like 30 feet to get out of the way. And then I turned around, I looked, I threw my boot off because, you know, I've never broken a bone before, but it doesn't take a genius to know that's going to swell up. So I took my boot off. So we had, and you know, that didn't happen. Then I turned around, I watched it settled down, cool, calmed down a bit. Then I crawled the 30 feet back to get into the truck to call my boss. I got almost to the truck and our mechanic pulled in. So the mechanic found me and was like, hey, man, are you good? And we both stared at it. I was playing with the fucking bone. I had no idea what it was. Man, right? And the ambulance driver tried to rip my cubbies off, right? He tried to cut them off. I wouldn't let him cut them. I'm like, those are my cubbies with my name on them, bro. You don't I don't care how much it hurts. You're pulling them off. And so I pulled them off. And when I was leaving the hospital, they took the pants, and the pants weren't fitting back over the splint. I threw the coveralls back on, threw my rubber boots back on, and I blue collared the shit out of that exit. I was like, fuck yeah, cubbies, steel toe boots, let's go. I wish someone was there to take a picture.
That's awesome.
Fuck yeah, man. No, this is the first time I've talked about this on the podcast. So, you know, like, it only happened 4 days ago. So,
well, I'm glad that you don't have to have surgery.
Yeah. Me
that's
too.
Not broken.
Me too. My wife's been carrying me, piggybacking me to the bathroom and stuff like that, and like literally putting me on her back, and she's been wiping and everything, man. It's crazy. I can do it, but she wants to, right? And yeah, no, it's get yourself a Mrs. Frost. I tell you that much. You know? So third year in the oil field, eh?
Going on, yep.
Fuck. What did you do before the oil field? I know, but people might not know, right? And I listened to your podcast with John on the Forgotten Working Class.
Yeah.
Man, like, he told me when he was on mine, he's like, man, get her on the podcast. She did an amazing job. And fucking, I listened to that podcast and it was really good. So,
yeah. Well, before I came to the oil field, I was doing a bunch of different things. I was working at a K&M Tire as a warehouse as a picker, driving a forklift and picking tires. I was in the best shape of my life at that job, picking tires all day long, all different size tires. And then I also worked at a horse sanctuary. And then I also was waiting tables. So I had three jobs. And this was all like 6 months out of getting out of prison. And so I came to the oil field on parole and out of travel permit, out of work permit to travel from South Dakota to North Dakota. And I was out for 6 months and my PO said I was, you know, doing really good this time because I had been going to prison for 10 years, getting in and out. And eventually I finally got it right, you know, with her. And it was just sick of everything. And I was like, I want to change everything, Amanda. That was my PO. And she had some faith in me. And she's like, if you think, you know, you can do this oil field thing, I mean, I'll let you try it, you know. And she's like, got a monthly travel permit. So I came up here on a monthly travel permit. 3 months later, she kicked me off parole.
So, good for you.
On early release, yeah.
Am I allowed to ask what you did? What'd you do? How's the other person look?
Yeah, the other person is just my bank account. realistically though, I was selling drugs when I was in college.
All right.
And hey. I got caught. That's the difference between me and a lot of people. A lot of people were doing exactly what I was doing in college, you know, but.
Well, it was supposed to happen that way, right? This was always your predetermined path. Right. Everything happens for a reason. You got caught so you could get right. Right. So yeah. That's huge. You know, coming to the oil field on parole, that sounds very par for the course, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. Everyone's like, hey, I got a criminal record. Do you think the oil field will hire me? Bro, if you don't, we're not going to hire you.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. No. So you said you were doing the horse thing and a waitress. What was the other thing you were doing?
K&M Tire. I was like an order picker at a tire warehouse.
Oh, that's badass, eh? Yeah. So, like, you were working, like, how many hours were you getting between those three jobs a week?
I was putting in basically oil-filled hours, 100, 120 a week, you know, but just at three different jobs, so I wasn't getting any real money because I'm not getting overtime. Yeah. You know, one job was waiting tables, the horse sanctuary, you know, that was a flat rate, but that was actually a pretty cool gig because they would send me to their friends that had horses and I'd get to go babysit their animals when they're out of town.
Yeah.
Wow. I make side money doing that, but not enough.
40 plus hours a week. There's only 168 hours in a 7-day period total, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you were, you know, between the working and traveling and to the in between jobs and then, you know, eating, you didn't have much time for rest in there.
Yeah.
You were getting just a taste of the oil field life at that point.
Yeah. Basically set myself up for it. Little did I know.
Yeah. I saw one of your videos, right? And, like, not many people that work in the oil field in general, like, you know, you got a lot of Americans on there from the Permian and from, you know, just where warm climates, they don't understand the goggles thing. Yeah. They don't understand covering every piece of skin you have.
Yeah.
And the ski goggles thing was, you know, I like seeing that, right? And you commented on one of my videos where I was like, I had the balaclava on, I was wrapped right up and I had the goggles like going and you're like, oh, we're twins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a lot of people don't understand that working out in minus 40, minus 50 and cold.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting thing. I always said, you know, if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, I don't know if we can make it in the 120 degree weather, but I mean, fuck, I'm willing to give it a go.
Right. Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've had some hot days too. I mean, we still get hot. I mean, my worst day ever in the oil field where I was just like, man, is this even worth it? I don't know anymore. It was like 104, 107 around there. But North Dakota is so humid. I got asthma. I couldn't breathe. I was like 50 pounds heavier than I was now. I was chubby. And I was sitting here. We were doing flowback and we were rigging in the 1502 sour service pipe for the for Hess location. And this was honestly like the best production I ever seen. It was like 600 barrels an hour. I've never seen anything like that. And it was sitting in the treater shack. It was like ocean waves crashing and there's it was so cool. But I mean, the night shift guys, they kept on stealing our 8-pound sledge. So we're stuck with this 10 and 12 pound sledge. And I'm like, beating down, this iron is so hot and our clothes are just dripping off of us. Oh, that was probably my worst day in the oil field.
Fuck. My worst day in the oil field, I'd have to say I was in northern Manitoba, which is just above North Dakota, like really far north. I was really far north. I'd say that was probably my worst day in the oil field. It was minus 58 with no wind. And that's Celsius. So I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it was that, and there's no trees around. There's no nothing, just open fields. Right. And it was something, right. And, you know, I started questioning why the hell I'm here. That's for damn sure. And then that was one of them. And I think one of my other days was, it was no colder than it would usually been. It was just, my daughter was recently born and I just left. Right. And I didn't want to be away from my firstborn and my wife, and it was minus 40 something. And it was in Kindersley, Saskatchewan, and same thing, you know, like, why am I here? Why am I here? I'm here because of them, obviously, but like, I don't want to be here right now. My kid was just born a week ago and this is cold. I'm freezing and my mind's not here. Right. So yeah. And that was probably one of the worst days for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt that my daughter's 18th birthday, there was no way I could take it off. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. My head was not there. I had meetings with XTO in the morning. And then after that, I had to train two guys. And then after that, I still had to pump 22 wells. And then I had to cut rat holes at the end of the night. And I was like, on my daughter's 18th birthday, zero chance of me to do anything, you know, but made it up for a couple weeks later. But, you know.
For the last 7 years, I was on a vac truck and I was working 7-8 weeks at a time. During the pandemic, it was 6 months at a time. I had 20 days off in 2 years, and that was really hard mentally. But for the most part, that 6 to 7 weeks on, I'd stay because I'd work and I'd come home for, I'd make sure I was home for Christmas, Easter, the birthdays. I'd make sure, you know, my my two kids' birthdays, I made sure, you know, I never missed. And that's why I stayed at that job for so long. I hated it. It was brutal, but like the conditions sucked, but I got to go home and set my own schedule. Right. So, 7 months ago or 6 months ago now, I left that job and I'm on a job where I'm on a hard schedule. Right. But that's a schedule nonetheless. 20 and 10, they fly me in and out. It's a day rate. I'm not working 40 hours straight anymore. I'm like 12 hours and done. Right. Now I miss birthdays. Right. Now I miss birthdays if I have to, but you know, I was home. I left. I think I got home about 4 days after my daughter's birthday, or I left a couple days before her birthday, but we had her party the weekend before. And my other daughter's birthday is coming up in a couple weeks. I was supposed to be home 3 days after and we were going to have her party, but hey, I break myself, right? I broke myself. So now I'm home for it, right? Like, hey, I'm here. Don't worry, you know? And, yeah, it's pretty wild. My wife's birthday is in 4 days and I wasn't going to be home for that, but I don't know if you've ever seen the movie FUBAR. No, check out FUBAR. It's a movie about the city I'm working in, Fort Mac, right? And, you know, he's like trying to break his leg so he can get off work and go on pogey and on disability. His foreman comes up and sees him doing it. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'll split it with you if you help me. His foreman's sitting there breaking his leg, right? Well, that's Diener and Terry, and I got Diener. He's coming on my podcast in a couple of weeks here, so from that movie. Yeah, and basically I foobarred myself to get off for my wife's birthday, right? And so, hey, surprise, babe, you got to take care of me on your birthday. So
dedication.
Yeah. Dedication to the cause, right? It's yeah, cool. Yeah, man. Cool. I don't know. I love your content, and fuck, I'm still blown away by that hair, right? Down and it looks good, and you got the makeup on, like shit. Yeah,
it's like a once a month occasion.
So. That's it. No more, right? I just happened to catch you on the podcast right now. That's deadly. Yeah, fucking. One of my favorite things was, you know, your nails. You know, I the ladies of the oil field and their nails and how much shit they take online for it, you know, like fucking, you guys, you don't do any real work, how do you do real work with your nails, blah blah blah, blah, right?
Yeah, just because they can't do it doesn't mean we can't.
We're
just different.
I break a fucking nail when it's this big and I'm trying to do shit, you know, like, you guys just, and cool for you guys, you know? I'm not judging. If you get her done, you get her done. I know I see a woman come onto site and I know my day is going to be that much harder, right? Because I know she's bringing her A game. I got to bring mine. So
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to bring my A game. There's no judgment there, you know, like fucking, I love seeing women in the field. I've made some videos about it, you know, like, there's one I got in my drafts actually. And it's, that scene from Anchorman. You've seen Anchorman, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, women don't belong in the newsroom. It's Anchorman, not Anchor Lady, right? And then they're like, I can smell her perfume. And then Rip is like, I don't know what we're yelling about, right? And yeah, I have that video in my drafts. I just got to post it at some point. I just haven't yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. How did you get into content creation? Why did you start? Why did you start with that?
You know, honestly, I've only had TikTok for about as long as I've been in the oil field. I started my TikTok when I got to the oil field because I was like looking for jobs, and honestly looking for jobs, and people were like hitting me up on Facebook. They're like, follow this person on TikTok, this person on TikTok. They're all in Williston because I was a gate guard. And while I was in my gate guard shack, I had nothing to do. You know, I'm on my laptop looking on YouTube, Kim Ray videos and things I can learn, you know, and I start looking up all these things. What are they doing out there? And I'm like looking up, what is a line boss? What is the blender operator? You know, and I start looking up all these different jobs and I'm like, how to be a line boss, how to be a blender operator. And so I kind of started looking for my outlet in the oil field because I wanted to get out of that gate guard shack. The gate guard shack felt like prison to me. I was like, I'm just stuck here peeping out this window. I just did this for 8 years. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get out there and do the things and get on a crew. And like, these guys felt, you know, knocked the loader off the flatbed. I'm like, ah, I could have done that for them. I don't know. And so I just felt like we could do more in the crew. And so I'm looking on YouTube. Everybody would come and bullshit with me at my shack because they're like, oh, new gate guard girl. And so, of course, they come and, you know, bebop with me and stuff. And I've cooked in there. And so they'd smell my food and they'd want to come and see what I got going on. And they would tell me who to follow on TikTok. And I'm like, I don't have a TikTok. Well, I guess I'll get a TikTok. I think my first video, I was at my guard shack and I accidentally started a fight with Texas, but I didn't mean to. And because all the guys on the crew, I mean, I'm in the back and everybody out here, you know, they come to the guard shack and I hear them talking and stuff. And they have this saying, you know, about going back and forth to Texas. And so I made a joke on Texas and then Texas came for me. And I was like, oh,
you got to be careful with Texas. Right? Yeah.
Careful with Texas. That's the bone I don't want to pick.
They're packing.
Yeah. Yeah, so people just started telling me to follow people on TikTok, and I started following those people on TikTok, and they were like Star Morrison. She was the only girl at Noble Casing when I went to Noble. And I started following her, and I was messaging her. I'm like, hey, girl, I'm in Williston, and I'm thinking about applying at Noble. And she was like, yeah, girl, see you at work. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And I just ended up at Noble. I did, like, 8 interviews that week. I was applying at 12 places a day. I was so serious about getting somewhere. And right. I printed off 50 applications or 50 resumes. I did, like, 12 a day for a whole week, 4 of them. Then Friday, I was calling everybody back. Next week, I did 8 interviews. And I picked Noble on my 8th one. And I was like, yeah, that's where I want to go.
You, I can't remember his name. He's a big creator, used to work at Noble, doesn't anymore, Wildcard or whatever his name is. I can't remember his name. Trying to get him on the podcast, actually. We talk. We're buddies on there. I don't remember his name, but it's Wildcard or something like that.
Well, Dustin Meehan was another guy that was like big on TikTok that worked at Noble, but he also doesn't work there anymore. I think he works at another casing company. Yeah. Could be him, Dustin.
Justin?
Dustin.
Dustin. I think it was Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin's cool.
Yeah, he's got like 100-some-odd thousand followers or something like that.
That's just because he likes to talk shit.
He does. He loves talking shit. I love his content though, right? Yeah. He's got the beard, right? He's got the beard. Yeah. Yep. I like that guy. He's awesome. I one of the first people I followed on Oilfield TikTok. Texas TikTok, you follow Justin Trujillo?
I think so.
I love that guy. He was on the podcast a few months ago. Who's your favorite content creators in the oil field space?
In the oil field space, I guess
Dick Frost.
Yeah, Dick Frost.
fucking oil field wise, Laner. I don't know if you know who Laner is. He's up here in Canada. We got Benny Canuck. He doesn't really make content anymore. There was Donnie Boy. Donnie Boy was like OG. You know who Uncle Hack is?
I don't.
Oh my God. You need to follow Uncle Hack, the Alberta rattlesnake.
See, I haven't had TikTok for that long. I've had TikTok for like 2.5 years. Another person that I do really like is she goes by Roughneck Girl. She used to be a derrick hand, and she's in the back end. She used to be a derrick hand, and now she's an owner-operator. She got her CDL, and boom, within a year, she became an owner-operator. Now her business is Diamond Roughneck, or Diamond Oilfield Services.
Yeah.
And she's killing it.
Do you know who Kennedy is, Cork Girl? She's in casing in Canada here. She's bad.
I've seen some of her videos.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's badass. I don't know what it is that you do. You're welding. You're a welder too, but like you also sell oil. You're a seller.
Pumper.
Yeah. So what is that? What does that do? Like, is that an operator? You basically sit at that. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So like, how do you were describing it on John's podcast, and I've kind of seen it in your videos a little bit. Like, what's the day-to-day like work of a pumper?
Well, I'll give it to you how it would be if I did not have a relief. Because I have been dealing with reliefs, being brand new to the oil field and not knowing that 12 inches is a foot and things like that. And so on a time where it's just me working my route, let's say it's me for 30 days straight. Okay. Basically my day starts, I'm out of the house at 5:00. I'm at the gas station by 5:30. I'm out of the gas station by 5:30. I get to the location. I have an hour and a half drive out to my first well. And right now I'm on a monthly renewal contract. And so at the end of the month, I get my schedule for the next month. It's basically like 2 weeks on, 2 days off, 2 weeks on, 2 days off, if it comes out to that. But like I said, my relief has not been relieving. So my days off do not stay ever. That's why my schedule is so crazy, because my days off are just constantly being moved. But so basically I'll get out there about 7. I get through my first 5 wells within an hour. I fly by my first 5 wells. When I get to my wells, basically you get to your, if it's an electric unit, first thing I do is if my pumping unit's not already running, I start my unit, go get my tubing and casing, grease my well head, go over to my treater, inspect my treater, get my gauges in my treater, make sure my dumps are working properly, make sure my temperature is working good, light my burner if it needs lit, go over to my tanks, and then just check the levels in my oil tank. So like if this is my oil tank and I've got 5 feet worth of oil here, by the time it gets up to about 17 feet, then I'm going to 17, 18 feet, then I close out of this tank and I recycle this oil, send it back to the treater, make sure it's clean, and then call it in and sell it. And just basically checking gauges, checking levels in my oil and water tank, getting, make sure everything's going smooth, fixing anything that needs light maintenance. Basically, it's like the rule of thumb that they say is like anything over like a 12-inch crescent is a roustabout job. But I try to not use roustabouts at all, because I'm trying to get the company that I've been pumping this route, just this route, for about 9 months now. And this will be my 10th month next month with them on this contract, but they've picked me to go do, like, I really nitpick things. My monthly inspections are inspected, you know, and they really like the way that I could just nitpick every little thing apart. They're like, she is so thorough. So they've sent me to like other routes. So I've had a lot of weeks in here, maybe a couple months in here, where I've had like two of them at a time with the same company. That's kind of when I was like, maybe I could use a hand. Yeah, I need to train a guy, you know, to just come help me out. But that was just for a little bit. And I just got greedy and just did it both myself, you know, did it all myself. But it was really nice. So they'll pick me to go tear apart other routes. They're like, hey, we had a guy that wasn't doing anything on this route for a year. Can you come and fix it all? And I'll go over there. Yeah, you need 12 windsocks, eight orange windsocks, 12 striped ones, and just go fix all the little things that they have. And then give them a huge list. Here you go. Here's all the stuff that needs done. So where do you want to start?
I made a video about that recently. It's like when head offices get the list of everything that needs to be repaired. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that Chinese lady like, hi, 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 hi. And they rip the list in half and they throw it away.
Yeah, that literally. Yeah. Literally, that's what they do.
Yeah. So do you get to determine the price or what? Like, you're like, okay, up to a certain amount. Is there like a margin in there that you can determine the price, how much it sells for, or you don't determine that? You're just like, hey, I'm selling it.
That has nothing really to do with me. That's all the company that I'm pumping for. Basically, I'm just collecting all the data, making sure that everything's sellable, and that there's nothing going wrong, and doing all the inspections, all the daily stuff. And then, like, let's say that something goes down, or I have pipes freeze, or my wellhead freezes, or my load line freezes, I can call up other companies to do.
Hold that up. Oh, sorry, I'm in there. Sorry, housekeeping. Sorry. No, you're
good. But basically, I can do. I can call out other companies that I need for like hot oil treatments, heat and rolling, chemical assessment. I can call other people, rig heaters. I can call those guys on my own. But for the most part, I clear everything through the company. We have several group chats, you know, we're always, you know, in the group chats.
Yep, so, send to the group chat.
Yep. So I always just, you know, pulled up on this well, DOA, whatever, high Murphy doubt, high Murphy, you know, backed off my VPR and back online at 7:30 a.m. And they'd be like, okay, thumbs up.
So do you know, like, how much money you've made the company in the last 9 months? Okay, you got a rough figure, a rough estimate? You're like killing, are you?
I do. Just like I wouldn't, if I wanted to do the math, I could, but I can tell you that I've made them like a $2.8 million weekend.
What?
Because what happened there is I got sent to go clean up a different route. So they had fired a guy who just wasn't doing his job. And they're like, hey, we've got a bunch of crap going on. We need someone to nitpick everything that's wrong and give us a list. And can you, you know, obviously double day rate. And I'm like, yep, I sure can. Yeah, because I was doing my regular route in the morning, yeah. But I'm done by 2 o'clock. I'm fast and I'm done by 2 o'clock every day. So I'm out of there. So then I have all afternoon to go back and do my welding, cut rat holes, or go do this other route. So I went and cleaned up this other route for him. And there was just so many full oil tanks all over the route. And I was like, why is he not calling in his loads? So I called all those loads that I called in. I was like, this was so much oil. I was like, how much is that? And the price of oil was like $68 a barrel. And I was like, how many barrels was that? And I was like, $2.8 million. And I just got a double dairy. This is bullshit.
Hey, pay me my whole fucking yearly salary. This week. Yeah. Hey, I just made you this.
Yeah, you're welcome for the nice weekend.
Yeah. You were saying, you know, you should hire some helping hands, right? But you got a little greedy. I seen you kind of got, you know, like a little contingency plan in place to help you maybe get that way sometime, right?
Yeah.
You know, you could eventually hire on some people.
I'm working on it right now. It's just the guys I train, I don't know if they just don't respect me in order to be their boss, to actually listen to them until I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's not going to work out. You know, if you're not actually doing the job the way that I told you to do it, like, I mean, then I guess it's not going to work out. I try to train people and I'm just not getting anyone trainable. It sucks. The workforce really does suck.
Well, coming out of COVID, right? Going into COVID, it was bad. Mm-hmm. We talked about this on the podcast a bit. Is going into COVID was bad. Coming out of it, holy shit, right? And really, that is kind of sort of, if you want to really get into it, that's kind of sort of corporate America or corporate, the corporate world's fault, if you will, right? The way that they shit on the workforce prior to COVID, during COVID, mm-hmm. now being like, hey, we need you back. We need you, right? You basically told a generation of workers that they were expendable, right? Overnight. You basically said, hey, fuck you guys. We don't need you anymore. You're not essential. Goodbye, right? And then expected them to just be at your beck and call, right? Well, what happened over the last, well, to those 2 years, was, you know, people learned what they could scrape by with. People learned what they did and did not need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
yeah, that's so obvious these days, too.
You get a guy like the millennials. How old are you again?
38.
You're a millennial. I'm 36. You get the millennials. Right. And, you know, our parents always told us, put your head down, put the nose to the grind and give her. The company will take care of you, because the boomers were taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, do what you're told and be a yes man. Well, you got the Gen Z coming up behind us. They look at what the boomers told us to do. They look at how well that worked out for us. Put your nose to the grind, be a yes man, and the company will take care of you. And they didn't, right? And the Gen Zs are looking at that being like, the fuck do I want to do that for? They got shit on. I'm going to go do something else. Right. And that's a thing too. And we talked about this too. What's been huge coming out of the pandemic, the rise of the social media influencer. Everybody wants to be part of that social media money. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like that for everybody, you know, like, you know, anybody can make content, but not everybody can make good content, you know? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm trying to get better with mine. I just ordered some extra like accessories for making content and stuff, because I do want to get like better quality content for sure. My stuff.
You got good content. I love your content.
Thank you.
You don't need to, like, making good content isn't always following the trends, right?
Right.
Like Blue Collar George doesn't follow the trends. I don't know if you know who Blue Collar George is or not,
mm-hmm.
but, pretty new content creator over the last few months and like just exploding, man, you know, and it's not because his content is following trends, it's because it's genuinely him.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I saw on your podcast you did with John there, you were talking about trying to hire ladies out of prison to, you know, train and get into the field, help them in a way that you needed help, but there was nothing there for you, and you want to kind of be that, you know, helping hand in, right?
Yep. So I was kicking around the idea idea of starting a halfway house in Williston in a couple years, not right now, but in a couple years, potentially bringing a halfway house up here and being able to just bring women from prison that already probably know me from prison, you know? And I mean, yeah, but I mean, but honestly, it would really work out because not to toot my own horn, but I never had a single bad day in prison. I mean, I was funny and likable and never had a bad day. I never had a hard time. It was like a summer camp for me. yeah, it really wasn't bad. And so I think a lot of those people that still reach out to me from their tablets, hit me up on emails, you know, and they'll be like, damn, girl, you really made it. Oh, my God. Like, how can I come out there and do the same thing? And I'm like, I'm about to start a halfway house and just bring you guys all here and train you all and teach you all how to at least weld, you know? And I mean, I can at least teach you guys how to weld. I mean, they got lease operator contractors out here that don't know that 12 inches is a foot. My friends can definitely figure that out, you know?
Yeah, you know, they know what a foot is or 12 inches, right? They're like digging their way out like the Shawshank Redemption, you know? Yeah. Like 12 more inches to go through this concrete wall, you know?
Yeah. No, literally. But it's South Dakota, so we don't have any like maximum. We don't have like, it's not that maximum. We could literally walk out the door and like walk home. Yeah, you could just walk out if you want.
Well, see you guys later. I'm going to I don't like the toilets in here. I'm going
out, you know? They find you pretty quick and then add on a lot more time if you do it. So
yeah. Yeah, it's based off the trust and honor system.
Right, kind of.
No, that's pretty cool. No, and fucking, no, that's huge. You know, like, it's kind of like a rehabilitation thing, right? Because coming out of prison, right, I've talked to a lot of people who've come out of prison, and, you know, I've seen movies, right? Like, probably not the same, but, like, and talking to you, you know, the biggest part about coming out was reintegration, right? And finding that job and landing on your feet, right? And, like, that's what you want to do. You want to be like, hey, the reason most people reoffend is because there's nothing for them out there. They can't get a job. No one will trust them to do this. No one will do that. You want to help them so they don't reoffend. So, right. The, you know, and it's a win-win, you know, they don't reoffend and you have help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even if they don't work for me, you know, just getting them here, because I think that's the biggest thing. Everybody's, oh, I want to get in the oil field. How do I get started? Move here. Move here. I'm sorry, but like the people that are applying over the phone from, you know, wherever, Iowa, wherever, that they don't have oil fields. Sorry, but you're going to be on the bottom of the list to get hired. If you're in town knocking at the door, hey, here's my resume. I'm here ready to work tomorrow. Your odds are you're going to get picked over the other people. Yep. But if I can just bring them here, even if they don't want to work for me and they don't want to weld, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. Bunch of other oil field jobs. I could have them get their CDLs. Okay, go do haul some sand, you know, haul some water.
Hauling sand is the big one, right? Fracking, right? Fracking is huge. And man, there's a lot of sand to be hauled in for a frack, right? So that's huge. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, when you get out of prison and you are on parole, you think your life is over and you're like, oh, no one's going to hire me. I have to go work at Taco Bell, you know, and you just never make any money because you think you have to work at Taco Bell or whatever. And you never really make any money. So then you end up doing more illegal things to get the money that you were used to making before you went to prison. But if you just get a good job right away that actually pays you better than the streets paid you, you know, then you're like, dang, it really is easier to do it on the good side. You know, people start realizing that and then they start to act right because they respect that paycheck, you know. And that, I think, is the ticket to success, is getting out of prison, getting a job that actually pays you good money. And the oil field is like, obviously going to take us.
No shit. Hey, do you know what viscosity is?
No.
Viscosity is like the thickness of fluid, right? Like when they're drilling, right? The thickness of the fluid downhole, right? They either got to make it more viscous or less viscous. And the reason why I ask
is fancy way of saying mudding up the hole.
Mudding up, sure. Oh, okay. The reason why I ask is because the podcast is sponsored by the Mud Man. And the Mud Man deals in mudding up the hole, right? And so he deals in viscosity for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. Shout out to the Mud Man. He deals in the thickness of the fluid. And you wouldn't know. I mean, are you married? You got a husband?
Not yet.
What's that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, shit. Oh, that's right. It's a promise ring. That's right. See, I listened. See, The mudman deals in the thickness of the load, right? And you know, those loads be pretty thick sometimes, you know. So like the mudman, you know, he hooked this podcast up with a mic and headset when I needed it the most, right? And like we were at the beginning stages almost 2 years ago. And you know, this past summer, he took it from my phone because I was using my phone, and he brought me a new MacBook Pro. And so now I don't need the mic and headset as much, and we're recording right here on the MacBook Pro. And you know, I love that guy. You know, if I said to him, "Hey, I got this girl, Steph the Smudger, who you know lives in Williston, North Dakota, and I want to do the podcast in person with her," I could easily drive there. But like, he'd probably be like, "Let's go, you and me. I got the flight. Come on." And so, you know, he's down, right? And he's trying to expand everywhere. And, you know, it's been a fun ride with him.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been pretty good. So for, you know, all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, www.themudmanmarket.com. So yeah, I fucking love that guy.
That's awesome. Hell so yeah. Is he like a distributor for like Bentonol and Aquagel and Bentonite?
He probably, yeah. I think he deals more on the side of, you know, the equipment, you know, like measuring cups, like Viz cups.
And stuff. Oh, okay. And,
yeah, I think he probably has chemicals too, I'd say, you know. I haven't really talked to him about that. So, you know, I've just seen his Viz cups and whatnot. So, yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you though. So, your name, Stephanie the Smudger. Why the Smudger? What's that? What's that about?
I'm a daily smudger. I'm a all day prayer and a daily smudger. And so I grew up in Flanders, South Dakota, tribal housing on the res. My mom's Native American. This is her. Hi, mom.
Oh, nice.
And I was raised with very traditional Lakota values, and I always smudge. I smudge once a day, sometimes several times a day. I'm just kind of always living in prayer within myself, basically.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm always smudging.
So what does smudging all like? What is it to smudge? Like, how do you smudge? So like, I know Aboriginals, they have like sweat lodges, right? Sweat lodges is something they do too, and that's something I would like to try. You know, like I want to go do a sweat. I think it's called a sweat, but like what is smudging?
Smudging is basically you're just lighting sage, and the smoke is smudging you, basically. And it's just cleansing. It's a way to purify your house, cleanse your house of any bad energy. It's just very good for your spirit. Anytime I'm in a bad mood, I light sage. Anytime someone pisses me off, I light sage. And then I just smudge myself down and I just, you know, kind of creator, get me through this moment. Give me some strength and patience here. Smudge myself down and woo-zah, and I'm better.
I bet you smudge all day long at work. I bet you're just in a constant smudge right at work.
I have my car, my truck sage. Yeah, my work truck sage for sure is my biggest one, actually.
Yeah, it has to be, right? You know, like yeah. You're dealing with truckers. You're dealing with fucking truckers that think that they're God's gift to Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one trucker. It's so funny. We actually flip each other off every time we see each other. I think we're friends now, but at first it wasn't friendly, but we just do it to each other so much now. I think we're friends now, but yeah, I smudged over him before.
That's important. That's funny. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this week is Women in Construction Month. I don't know if it's like that in the U.S. Is it like that in the U.S.?
If it isn't, I haven't heard about it.
Oh, I know it is like that here in Canada. So shout out to Women in Construction Month. You know, as a woman, do you find like people look at you differently or like treat you differently or try to like take advantage of, okay, you know what? She's not a man and I can maybe get away with a little bit more when I come on the site. And you just got to like put that, you know, hypothetical dick down, you know, like.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. I have went through 3 cans of mace in the last 2 years.
Oh my God. What is that? Oh, hold on a sec. Oh, sorry about that.
They are so accommodating for you.
Oh, I'm getting by on a wheelie chair here. Ah, shit. There we go. Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you break a fucking ankle and dislocate your bone, I guess. Everyone's sort of like, oh my God, empathetic for, like, how can I help you, bro? I'm fucking sore, but I'm not dead. You know, I'm still here. You know, my wife is like, you don't need to be the tough guy. You could, this is one thing that you can baby. And I'm like, nah, you know, I can't baby this shit. I want to be treated maybe not normally, but like semi-normal, you know, like I don't want you to fucking, I want her to carry me to the bathroom, you know, like I love that, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I would be milking that to 100%. I mean, honestly, even if I've had too much wine, I'll be like, honey, I can't do anything. Can you make me some toast?
Baby, please. I'm here. I need you.
Yeah. Just don't move. Yeah.
So welding and the cellar and like, what else do you do in the oil patch? Like, I thought there was, you did a couple different things, right?
God, I've done so much. So my contracting, so I've got Cyrie Energy Services, Welding Via LLC. Those are my two LLCs, personal LLCs. But with the Welding Via LLC, basically, I do welding, structural stuff. I've got a few bids out right now that I'm in the running for. I'm on the short list on a bid that I am so hopeful on. It's going to be my biggest one. Biggest job. It's for an entire powwow arena on the res that I came from
Flandreau. Nice.
Yeah. So Flandreau might pick me up for this. So I'm hoping that I'll get that. But, and then with the oil field services, basically I will do whatever the oil field needs me to service with that. With that, I've done contracting for Flowback, Fluid Tech, Water Transfer, Coil Tubing, Drill Out, Sand Commander, Oil Cop, whatever I could get my hands on, pumping, lease operating, whatever I can get my hands on for that. And then with the welding, I've been doing a lot of cutting down rat holes lately. That's kind of been a quick moneymaker for me after pumping. I'll get done pumping, come back into town, go switch out of my truck, grab my acetylene and my torch bottles and stuff, and go cut down rat holes. And those sometimes are even at dark, and then I can charge a little bit extra for being after hours.
That's badass.
I love it. Yeah.
You're just fucking, you know, my, like, prison, you know, hey, you know what? I don't never want to go back there, right? Like, you're just busy all the time. You're like, you know what? Right. If I'm doing this and staying busy, that isn't even an option.
Right. And I don't commit felonies anymore.
Good for you.
I do not commit any felonies anymore at all. And, you know, I have been just even things that, are not known, that no one finds out about. Personally, I have not committed a felony that no one knows about.
You haven't jaywalked.
I haven't walked.
You know what? I've even taken walking out of it.
I put my clubs on this side of the cattle guard, not that side.
Oh shit, that's funny. Yeah. No, that's good. No, good for you. Yeah. You know, like, is your mom still with us?
Yeah.
That's good. Your mom must be really proud, you know, like, and your dad. I don't know if your dad is around.
Yeah,
but,
my dad passed away before I was able to get it together. But I mean, I'm very spiritual and I find moments with my dad all the time, every day.
That's huge. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And your mom, you talk all the time and shit. I bet you she just like, oh, Stephanie, I'm so proud. You pinches your cheeks and fucking. Okay. The Bannock. You guys have Bannock?
So different natives. We have fry bread, same thing, but
fried,
we call
it bread. Yeah. Fried bread.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing.
Yeah. Pretty much same thing.
That's
yeah.
Awesome, man. I love me some Bannock. Mm-hmm. Bannock's fucking delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. My boyfriend loves fried bread too.
So, you know, also something that, you know, another sponsor of the podcast. I'm pretty excited, you know, like, as a guy who, you know, I guess 4 years ago, 5 years ago, almost was on the outside looking in, and similar to you, you know, you're on the outside looking in, learning, trying to figure out how to get into the oil field. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was on the outside looking in, you know, like, well, how does a guy get this and stuff like that? This was, I guess, 13 years ago, but for the last five, anyways, I've been a part of this community, right? The industry, the oil field, big industry, small community. Right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the people or companies that sponsor the podcast would be Brasco Safety and NWT Safety. And what they've helped me do, I've partnered up with them. And if you want a pair of safety boots, we all know how expensive steel toe boots are, right? And Brasco, they ship within North America. So this is pretty good. If you want to save money on your steel toe boots, if you're new to the industry, you don't have that much money and you want to save money, use code FROST10 when you go to, BrascoSafety.com, and they have an Instagram page and whatnot, and you can save money on the boots, you know, when they ship internationally. And that's so cool, man, you know, and I love giving back that way. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. www.brascosafety.com. So yeah, that's pretty, I was really excited when I partnered up with those guys. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So where do you see yourself going? Like 3 years in, this isn't it for you, right? Like you got bigger plans. You know, we all do. I came to the oil field 13 years ago with a 5-year plan. So,
well, if you want to go 5-year plan, so basically, okay, I just started a nonprofit, and it's very new. I'm in the very beginning stages of it. Everything's official on paper, but it's the Fight Against Fentanyl Foundation. And so basically that's going to be my getting my snowball rolling as to getting my nonprofit game and my grants up, but for my halfway house that I'm going to be starting here in next year, hopefully. But with the Fight Against Fentanyl Foundation, basically I'll be taking shipments of Narcan, storing them in cooled cases. You have to keep them cool. I've got a storage unit with cooled cases, lining them up. And then I'll be shipping Narcan to, starting with tribal reservations, IHS clinics that need it. And then anyone that wants it for personal use, if they ask for a box, I'll send them 12 units in a box with instructions and stuff how to administer it. Basically, just because, you know, people that are overdosing all the time on the drugs, they don't have to die from them. And I mean, I've even seen people overdose in the oil field, in a porta potty, you know, or in their work truck or in their semi cab. And it's not like just because we have good jobs and we're supposed to be clean and sober, it's not the case for everybody. And just having Narcan in your work truck, you might save another dude's life on an oil field site or any job site, you know. And so, yeah, I just want to be able to get Narcan out to everyone. I have a family member that's still struggling with addiction really bad. And that's kind of my purpose behind that, is if I can get Narcan to everyone he knows, then maybe he'll live the next time he ODs, you know, I mean, because he almost didn't the last time. But and then I'm hoping that that 501c3, that nonprofit, will get me headed in the right direction for my halfway house.
That's amazing. You know what? I can't remember who I was talking to on the podcast about it not long ago. But you know, there's a lot of people that are on the social media just fucking around, just dicking around, right? They make content, they go viral, but they do nothing with it, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's people like you. You're here with purpose, right? And you know, like maybe it started off as, you know, dicking around a little bit, but like you're here with purpose. You're using your platform for good, right? And that's huge. You know, the internet and social media, I guess, the rise of the influencer, as they call it, has actually been, you know, pretty good for a lot of people. You know, there's some people, like I said, ticking around, but like, you know, with purpose. And here you are, man. That's incredible. Good for you.
Thanks. But yeah, and then as far as business goes, I am looking to hire welders that I can have working for me, so I don't have to go cut rat holes. Because honestly, I like doing it, but at the same time, if I had a guy, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind having a guy, you know, to go do some of the stuff for me. I mean, even when I have to turn down work, because I'll have a lot of people call me looking for welding work that, hey, are you available right now? I've got a pinhole and a treater. Hey, can you get over here? I'm sorry, I'm pumping in Montana every day until 2 p.m., you know, so. Yeah, if I had a few welders under my belt right now, I'd be able to have a lot more business.
Have you put that out into the world on TikTok? Hey, I need some welders in North Dakota. Because if you do that, I mean, yeah, you're going to get every Tom, Dick, and Harry and some fly-by-nighters. But like, you know, a little bit of vetting goes a long way, right? But you do that. I find that if I need something, I put it out into a video and usually like it finds me, right?
Right. And I think I would, once I don't have enough guys here. I mean, so I've got a bunch of welder friends here, and like we throw jobs to each other, and then we also let each other know about who's not paying people. You know, hey, don't do any work for this guy. He's hurting for people, and don't go work for him because he's not getting paid or whatever. And so I've got a lot of welder friends that, you know, I've used locally. But with the thing with putting it on TikTok, it's like I would need someone to be local. You know, yeah. And I could say that in my video. You know, locals only to Williston or the Boston area. Yeah, you know, there's so many out here anyways. So
were people willing to relocate, right? You know,
yeah.
It's pretty interesting. You know, I needed a ride to the airport once and I put it out there on TikTok, right? And I got that ride pretty quick. It wasn't from some stranger, it was my buddy actually. And he's like, bro, you need a ride. He's like, I'm here. I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. Right. And but a bunch of people were like, hey, I'll buy you a coffee in the morning. They wanted to take a ride with me, right? And it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like this is how I end up a lampshade or something, you know, and like, or someone's sex doll, or I don't know.
Right. Yep.
Oh shit. Where can people find you on the socials?
Basically on TikTok, I'm Stephanie the Smudger. On Instagram, I'm Stephanie the Smudger.
I don't even know if I have you on Instagram.
I don't really use it. Honestly, I'm going to start using Instagram more this year. So I just started Instagram when we lost TikTok.
So start posting on Instagram. I'm telling you, like any companies that are going to like sponsor you and help you make a little bit extra money, they come from Instagram, right?
Okay.
Like your content will grow on Instagram and whatnot. I got like 56, almost 57,000 over there now. It's pretty cool. And, you know, I know if companies like Troll Clothing, like Dirty Hands Clean Money, you know, they don't care if you're anywhere else. They want you on Instagram, right? So if they're coming after you for blue collar shit, and I was in on their meeting this morning, they had and they're getting they're trimming some fat, right? People who just don't post anymore or not. So they'll be looking for more people, right? So you know, refer some people, and hopefully, you know, if you're there, I'd be like, hey man, get in on this one. This one's fucking amazing.
Perfect.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. I don't want to keep you too much longer there, Steph. I got to go here soon to the hospital, less than an hour now. And I got to poop.
I hope you have a good appointment.
What's that?
I hope you have a good appointment.
Oh, me too. I hope, you know, they take it off. My wife has been lifting up the bandages and you can see underneath the splint a little bit how bruised it is underneath there. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that the swelling's gone down a bit because the splint's starting to get loose. And I've moved the bandage out of the way a little bit. And like, it's not as black and blue and it's not as swollen. So that's kind of good. But I really don't. They said no surgery. So I'm hoping we're still sticking with no surgery. And they said, you know, maybe just a hard cast. So I got to get a pink one because my daughter had a purple one for her arm. And she was cuddled up with me the other night. And she's like, yeah, dad, mine was cooler because mine was purple. and I'm like, yeah, well, hey, guess what? Dad's coming for the fucking win, you know? Like, I'm getting a pink one, you know?
Yeah.
And my safety guy who's waiting right outside this door for me right now, he's just pulled up waiting, doing some work and stuff like that to take me to the thing. He's like, if you get a hard one, I want to be the first one to sign it.
Nice.
So, yeah, man, I can't wait. I've never had a broken bone before. So, like, I'm interested, anxious. I don't know. I'm pumped to have people sign something of mine, right? Like, let's go. I'm going to get everyone to sign it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You've never had a broken bone?
Never had a broken bone. Broken spirit. So.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
Well, actually, this past summer, they might have been broken. It was never confirmed. But my big toe and my two small toes right after it on the other foot, I was kicking a soccer ball around and I was wearing a croc. And I wound up and I went to go kick and my croc caught the ground and my foot drove right into the ground. Those three toes were black and blue and hurt. And it hurt to walk for a couple of days. But I just put my foot in the boot and tied it tight and went to work, right? So, yeah, whatever. So fucking, this is the first, you know, we've confirmed it's broken and whatnot. So yeah.
I had a broken nose on, we were trying to load a 40-foot trailer with some rat hole equipment, and a guy was swinging a binder behind him, caught me right in the face. It broke my nose, and my nose was just, and my nails were actually like pulled up with blood all in my fingernail tips. And I was like, oh my God. And this guy took his shirt off and he's like, here, put my shirt on it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, it honestly doesn't hurt that bad, but does it look bad? And he was like, oh my God. When I took the shirt off of my face, he said my nose was sitting on my face sideways. And he was like, I'm so sorry, I have to do this to you, Steph. And he came and grabbed my head, and he was just like this. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah, he put your nose back.
And he went, and I was like, oh my God, he did that on purpose. And he was like, I'm sorry, but trust me, you'll thank me later. It was sitting like this, girl. And I was like,
oof.
I had no idea, but yeah, we went right to work.
I'm going
to
show you something. I'm going to show you something, okay? This is the first time I've showed it. Well, not really the first time, but that.
Mm.
See that bone right there? It looks like it's broken or swollen, right? That is actually the bone that connects my leg to my foot, and it is dislocated.
It looks dislocated.
Yeah, yeah, it sure does looking at it now, right? But like it's popped back in and whatnot. And I can't confirm if my nose was broken, but 2 years ago we were shooting guns and we're blowing Tannerite up. And my buddy, who's also on TikTok, he's got 1.5 million followers or something like that, thought he was being clever. And I had the gun, the butt end of the gun underneath my armpit, not on my shoulder. And he's like, I took the shot, I took my glasses off. And he's like, yeah, man, I thought you knew. And you can see in the video, like, it very clearly. And I took the recoil and it got scoped right here. Oh, my God. I saw stars. It was fucking not good, right? But, like, it bled for a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. So, like, yeah, it could have been broken, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Right? No, man. You know, we work in a dangerous industry, right? And when shit goes sideways, it goes sideways. And we all have this training, right? And this training to, you know, basically, how are you going to handle the situation, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, 13 years in the oil patch, and I've only had to get out of a couple sketchy situations. But this one was like I had a choice to make. And, you know, the choice I made, it caused damage to my body. But not as much as the other choice, staying there and letting it happen would have played out and how much different my life would be today. Right. So, you know, like even the safety guy and everyone that was involved in the investigations and hearing about it, they all said the same thing. I would have done the same thing. I would have done the exact same thing and like, good for you and whatnot. They're like, but how did you know to take your boot off when you were going through that? And I'm just like, man, it just made sense, right? Like whatever's happening is swelling. It's going to start to swell. Mm-hmm. And shout out to the ambulance drivers who follow me on TikTok. So nice. We're treating Dick Frost right now, right? It's cool. It was pretty cool, you know, actually putting training into you, staying calm and not crying and not panicking and not like, oh, you know, like staying calm and going the course and waiting for that help and just being relaxed about it, right? As much as it hurts and as much as, you know, we're here, right? It's good to know that 13 years worth of training came down and hey, it hasn't happened to me ever. Until it does, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, my H2S course. I've never had to deal with H2S until you do, right? I've never had to apply CPR until you do, right? So like, shout out to, you know, all that training we take as people in a dangerous field, right? So,
For sure.
Absolutely. Steph, I got one question for you, and I like to wrap the podcast up with this every time. And, you know, Mount Rushmore, hey, in your neck of the woods, right? Yep. South Dakota. Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people on the rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to, inspired to be or that inspired you, dead, alive, real, not real, who would they be and why?
I would make an indigenous Mount Rushmore with all of the founding fathers that were, Lakota leaders. I would put Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Chief Shorpal, because he's my great grandfather and he, he brought the ghost dance to the Lakota people. And the ghost dance is actually the reason behind the Battle of Little Bighorn and a huge fight there. But it's actually what led the 7th Cavalry to take their first L and only L. The United States' first and only L was to my grandfather. So,
So
I would put them on there. Who would be my fourth? I don't know. My mom.
Fuck, your mom's badass. Good for you. What his name was, Shorpal?
Yeah, Tatanka Pichula.
And so, okay, it's crazy. You know, the reason why Aboriginals are treated the way they are today stems from what happened in the late 1700s, early 1800s, right? And it's like they were just on the wrong side of history. They saw that the British had not lost the war. And they're like, well, we're going to be on their side, right? And they chose the wrong side, right? And that sucks, because had they just been like, ah, fuck this, we're with you guys, right? It would be a much different story today. I don't know. I watch a lot of Outlander, right? So, like, no, it's pretty wild. And, you know, I don't know how the Americans treat their Indigenous today. But I know up here in Canada, you know, there's a pretty shameful past in history, right? So even today, a little bit, it's not the greatest. And we're getting there, right? We're getting there. It was only 35 years ago where the last residential schools were closed, right? And 35 years ago, that's wild to me.
Absolutely. And the thing is that they're all closed now. They're all closed now, and that chapter is over, and the ball is rolling in the right direction for us to just heal and, you know, be strong for our ancestors, be strong for all the residential kids. And that part is over. The worst is over. And so for natives, it can really only go up from here.
Absolutely. Shout out to the Aboriginals. I don't think we're allowed to say natives or Indians in Canada, but like Aboriginal and
Indigenous.
Indigenous, Aboriginal, and First Nations is what we can call them, right? We have the Indian Act in Canada or whatever it was, where my safety guy is Indian or Aboriginal, and he said the Indian Act, he is technically not recognized as a citizen of Canada because of that. Like, the Aboriginals are technically not citizens.
Yeah, they're sovereign to their own people.
Mm-hmm. Brutal. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. No, you know what? Thanks for coming on the podcast, Steph. Yeah.
So,
like, we've been trying to get this done for a while, you know, and I wasn't annoying you. I was just trying to stay relevant, right?
Absolutely. Right? I appreciate it.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm always trying to stay at the top with everybody. You know, it's like, hey man, I'm here. Hey man, I'm here. You know, come on the podcast. And look, we got her done. So, you know, I want to have you on again, though. You know, I follow your story, and I'm going to keep following it. I'm going to keep, you know, making excuses to have you back, because fucking I love your content. I love everything about you. So
yeah, no, I definitely appreciate being here for sure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Steph, stay frosty.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
And you can't hear the music. Right? You can't hear that music? It's playing.